Christ be with your spirit. This is God's word. What is the hardest thing to do in life? In a word, I think it's forgiveness. To forgive somebody who has wronged you. And the greater and the more painful the wrong that has been done to you, the harder it is to forgive. We've just been praying for Ukraine and some of the awful things that have been going on in that country. And some people have lost an awful lot. What would it mean to forgive? Forgiveness, I think, is the hardest thing to do. And forgiveness and reconciliation is what the book of Philemon is all about. It's a personal postcard, as I've said, 25 verses long, written by the Apostle Paul from prison in Rome to this wealthy Christian, Philemon. He hosts and maybe even pastors the church at Colossae. This letter to Philemon would have arrived with the letter to the Colossian church, brought by Tychicus, who had been converted under Paul's ministry in Ephesus. And as he brought this letter back, he would have come back with one of Philemon's former slaves, Onesimus. You see, at the heart of this letter is a broken relationship between this wealthy Christian, Philemon, and a runaway slave, Onesimus, who, when he ran away, probably nicked some money from Philemon on the way. Now, a quick thing about slavery. Slavery in the first century wasn't a cut and dry thing. Some people were forced into slavery. Other people voluntarily opted into slavery because they were in debt and they wanted to pay it off, or in order to earn some money in some way. And Paul writes his letter to Philemon and to the church in his house to deal with this issue between him and Onesimus, to bring reconciliation, and within that reconciliation, forgiveness was required. And so when Philemon received this letter, he would have received it in the church, with the church. In fact, it's a letter to him, but it's also a letter to the church. And so you can almost feel the tension as you read this letter, that this letter would have been read out in a meeting a bit like this, with Onesimus standing in one place and Philemon standing in another. There's tension in the air as the letter is read. What is Paul going to say? Well, you know, how is he going to act as a diplomat to try and bring these two people together? Is it possible for them to come together? Is forgiveness and reconciliation possible? Well, we know it is possible, and it did happen, because history tells us that Onesimus became the bishop of Ephesus eventually. So forgiveness is possible, but the question is how. So three things from this letter I want us to briefly to look at. I want us to look at Christian family, Christian forgiveness, and Christian foundations. Christian family, Christian forgiveness, and Christian foundations. When Paul begins this letter, he addresses it to Philemon and then refers to Philemon's wife, Aphia, in verse 2, as our sister. He then talks about Philemon's son, Archippus. But then he also talks about other people in this letter. Later in the letter, he calls Philemon a brother in verse 7, and he calls Timothy a brother in verse 1. And to top it all off, he refers to God in verse 3 as our Father. In other words, Paul begins this letter by talking to Philemon about being part of a Christian family. He's his brother in the Lord. His wife is his sister in the Lord. God is our Father in the Lord. You see, when a person becomes a Christian, they don't just get they're not just made right with God by themselves, but they become part of God's family. God is now your Father. You're his child, adopted into his family through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for you. But you join a family which contains other people. And so automatically when you become a Christian, you have brothers and sisters. I remember the story of one evangelist who was going to South Africa, and he got talking to a businessman on the plane, and he said, "Oh, you know, when you get to South Africa, where will you stay?" He said, "Oh, I'll stay in a hotel. I don't know anybody there. I'm just going here on business." And he turned to the evangelist. He said, "What about you?" He said, "Oh, when I get off the plane, I'm going to meet a number of brothers and sisters, and then I'm going to see a whole my whole wider family that exists in South Africa." That's a wonderful way to think. Yeah, you know, other Christians are our brothers and sisters in the Lord. There's no such thing as a go-it-alone Christian. I know sometimes people say, you know, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? Well, if you know that your family is gathering together in your area to hear from your father, the words from your father, and to have a meal together, don't you want to be part of it? If you're part of that family. But when you're part of that family, being part of that family, works itself out in responsibilities. In verses 4 to 7, Paul begins has a thanksgiving prayer, as he often does in his letters. And in his thanksgiving prayer, he tells us what he's thankful for. It's one of the things I love about Paul's prayers. He doesn't just pray, but he tells us what he prays for. And what does he pray for? He gives thanks because he's heard of Philemon's, verse 5, love and the faith that he has towards the Lord Jesus and all the saints. Faith and love are the marks of a Christian. Faith towards God, trusting in him, and love towards God, but also love towards other people. And Paul's in prison in Rome here, 1,000 miles away, and he's heard of Philemon's faith and love. In other words, the gospel has had an effect on Philemon's life, which is working itself out in practice. He's opened his home up. The church meets in his house. He's probably been generous with his money and his resources as part of that. Verse 6, Paul prays that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing. That word sharing of faith is not, we often think of that as an evangelist sharing the gospel. That's not what it means here. The word sharing faith is the word koinonia, which is fellowship. In other words, he's sharing his faith by serving others, that both he and they might grow as believers. You see, that's what Philemon's doing. He says that in verse 7, "I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." Paul's in prison, and he hears what Philemon's doing and the impact the gospel has had on his life and how he's that's leading him to love other people. And Paul is rejoicing in prison. In fact, he's being comforted and refreshed in his faith because of Philemon. You see, being a Christian has consequences. Being part of a church family has consequences. It should affect what you do with your time, with your money, with your resources. In fact, Paul is in prison for that very reason. He's in prison because he's been sharing the gospel. That's why 4 times he refers to himself as a prisoner. Faith has consequences. Being part of a Christian family, a church family, has consequences. That may involve being in prison, but it also may involve small things as well. The minister of the church where I became a Christian in Scotland was a wonderful old man called Ted. He was in his 60s as the minister when I became a Christian. And one of the things that has impacted me, and it's stayed with me for the past 30 years, was not his sermons. though he could preach at times. But the fact that after church on a Sunday, he would invite a number of people back to his house, which was 7 miles away. At his house, he would then cook a meal for everybody he'd invited back. And there'd always be a big pile of sausages, because in one of the first times he took people back, he made loads of sausages and they all disappeared straight away. And he said, well, students like sausages, so I'm going to make loads of sausages every time. So yes, his sermons were good at times. But the thing that stayed with me was his hospitality, his love. The fact he cared about people. And he opened his home up. He wanted to get to know us as people. We weren't just members of the church that he pastored. See, Jesus says this, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. By the love that you have to one another. So that's the first thing we see in this letter, is that we are Christian family. Person who believes in Jesus has become part of his family. The second thing we see is Christian forgiveness. In verse 8, Paul turns to his appeal now. And this is what he's getting at in his letter. So after thanking God for Philemon, he turns to Philemon and addresses him and says this: though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. You know, Paul's an apostle here. Although he doesn't call himself an apostle anywhere in the letter, he calls himself a prisoner for the Lord. He doesn't want to rest in his apostleship and say, I'm commanding you to do this, Philemon. He's appealing to him for love's sake. In other words, he doesn't want Philemon to bring back Onesimus because Paul has told him to. He wants him to bring back Onesimus because he wants to do it from the heart. He's been motivated by love. And so that's what he says. I appealed to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. What's going on? Well, Onesimus has run away from Philemon, ended up in Rome, and somehow, in some way, encountered the Apostle Paul. Which is remarkable. Coincidental. Or as we would probably say as Christians, providential. God has been at work here. Onesimus has run away from his Christian master, and he's bumped into the guy through whom his Christian master got converted. And he himself has become a believer. His name, Onesimus, means useful. And so there's a play on words here. He was useless before he became a Christian, but now he is useful both to you and to me. And Paul so loves Onesimus that as he sends him back, he says, I'm sending my very heart to you. You see, he's sending Onesimus back to Philemon as a different man. He was a runaway slave. Now he's sending him back as a Christian, as a brother in Christ, as part of Philemon's family. Not just an employee of Philemon, but as a brother. Paul continues, I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will. He could have kept him. Although there might have been some legal consequences if you're keeping a runaway slave who has nicked stuff from his master. But he sends him back. He says this, verse 15, for this is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul looks at the situation and says, perhaps he's run away that he might get converted and become a believer. And now you can have him back, not only as an employee again, but even more as a brother in Christ. See, Paul looks at things spiritually again and again. He's saying there's a different relationship now between you and Onesimus when he comes back. Whether you like it or not, Philemon, you're in the same room as brothers in Christ, as equals in Christ. And so have him back. This would have been hard for Philemon. In those days, if a slave ran away, he could have been executed. Philemon could have had him executed. It would have been hard for him because he probably nicked something. He says that in verse 18. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. He's lost some money or something. But also it would be hard for Philemon because he would lose face. He would lose face before other wealthy men in the area. You know, that's Philemon. He goes a bit soft on his slaves and employees. Look, he's taking that guy back. It would lose face before his employees. You know, if he's going to bring back this slave who's run away, why don't I run away? If he's going to forgive Onesimus, who's nicked money from him, why don't I just nick money from him and run off? And, you know, he's not going to do anything to me. He's a soft touch. Plus the pain of betrayal, the pain of loss. You know, it will be hard for Philemon to forgive. And yet, that is what Paul is calling on him to do. In order to have Onesimus back, Paul is saying, forgive him from your heart. Forgive him for what he has done. Be reconciled to him. And if he has stolen anything, Paul says, charge that to my account. Paul is saying, look, Philemon, remember, I'm asking you to forgive Onesimus and to be reconciled to him, but just remember who you are and whose you are. Paul says, you became a Christian. You became a Christian through my ministry. You owe me your very life. You know, if he has a debt of £1,000 or £10,000 to you, what is that? You owe me your life. And so I want you to receive him back, verse 17, as you would receive me. You see, he's saying, I don't just want you to forgive him. I don't just want to be restored in relationship. I want you to receive him as you would receive me. And who's the Apostle Paul? He's Philemon's hero. He's the one who's led him to faith. If Paul turned up in the Colossian church at Philemon's house, he'd roll out the red carpet. He'd say, you can stay in the en suite. You know, we're going to provide you with food. We're going to provide you with anything you want, Paul, because I owe you my life. Paul says, that's how I want you to welcome back Onesimus. Welcome him as you would welcome me. I'm sending my heart with him. It's a beautiful picture. You imagine them in the church coming back together, reconciled, hugging one another, being restored. What joy there would be. How can you do that? How are you able to do that when someone really wrongs you? Sometimes it's even harder with Christians than people who aren't Christians, because we expect more sometimes from Christians. And there's a closeness there sometimes with Christians that when it breaks down, it's even more painful. Well, we've got to get back to Christian foundations. We've got to get back to the gospel. See, how are we able to forgive? By looking to the greater Philemon, Jesus Christ. You see, Paul is calling on Philemon, this wealthy master, to serve. And he's doing that because he's a follower of Jesus Christ, who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, Jesus Christ is the ultimate Philemon. He's the ultimate wealthy master who God has called on to be reconciled and to bring reconciliation to runaways, to people like you and me. And how does he bring about this reconciliation? Paul says, if you've got a debt, put it to my account. Jesus says, they've got a debt. That's gone to my account. And because it's gone to his account, God can now receive us. How? As he receives Jesus Christ himself. You see, Jesus, if you look to Jesus Christ and see what he has done, and see that he is the greater Philemon who's made it possible for us to be received and reconciled to God himself, that the more you, to the extent you look at that, to the extent you allow that to move you, is to the extent you'll be able to forgive others and be reconciled to them. So as we close now, just let me ask you a couple of questions. Who is there in your life that you need to forgive? We all have people. It may be in a small way. It may be in a big way. And we can't forgive by ourselves. That's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Look to Jesus Christ. Ask for God's help. But if there isn't anyone in your life, or you can think of at this moment, that you need to forgive, are the people that you see in your life who are at odds with each other? And can you step in like the Apostle Paul to bring about reconciliation? Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Let me pray to us. Let me pray for us. Gracious Father, we thank you for your grace. We desperately need it as we think about forgiveness. It is such a hard thing to do, and yet here you have given us an example of it happening. Lord, help us to move out into the world this week, asking that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And Lord, giving us the power to do that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.